If you have a Bible with you tonight and could turn with me to John chapter 1, John chapter number 1, we'll begin there in a moment. A man told the story of how he and his family went to the Carlsbad Caverns, where on the tour, as usual, the guide turned out the lights to show how intense the darkness was. Little girl began to cry, and her brother was heard to say, "Don't worry, somebody in here knows how to turn the lights on." I'm afraid that in so many homes this year, and sadly in too many churches, no one will know how to turn the lights on. They'll gather and rehearse memories, share food, tell funny stories, even express gratitude through giving and receiving gifts, but they'll leave the same as they came, in the dark. And tonight, I don't just want to talk about the light, I want to show you the light. In John chapter number 1 and verse 1, he begins in the very first words to give us these tremendous deep truth of the existence of God, the pre-existence of Jesus Christ. In John 1 and verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." The verse is indicating that Jesus Himself is the very source of life, and He is the source of light itself. Just like in Genesis, we see that in the physical realm, light first came by the very Word of God, and life, that is, human life, came by the breath of God. When He breathed into man's nostrils and he became a living soul. But on a spiritual plane, thinking about light again, Jesus is the very source of light. And what is that light then? It is the revelation of the source. It is any revelation of God Himself. Now, He's given that in various ways throughout His creation, but He is the source of that light, and light is a revelation of Him. Paul describes the function of light in Ephesians 5:13 when he says, "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light." In other words, all light has the same quality, that of revealing something, clarifying reality, illuminating the true state of things. What is a light? A light is that which shows us what really is. And the brighter the light, the greater we understand, and with better clarity, the actual state of things. So Jesus is the true source of light. That is, the more we see a revelation of Jesus Christ, the more we understand life as it really is. The more we have a proper concept or a grasp of reality. John 1:5, though, goes on to say an interesting statement. After calling him, it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Verse 5 says, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." John 3 and verse 19 says a similar thought. It says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world." Great. But men love darkness rather than light. Strangely enough, it seems, but not so strange when we understand Scripture, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Why? Because light is that which makes manifest and causes us to see the state of things as they really are. And so as we have a manifestation of the light of Jesus Christ, it exposes our own sin and our own depravity to us. Jesus said to those in his own generation, "Yet a little while is the light with you." He, as the light incarnate, walking on earth, was a unique kind of light to that generation. though we have light, obviously, in this generation, but he said to his generation, yet a little while the light is with you. He's talking about his own life here. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. And I wonder how many tonight, maybe even here, walk in darkness. You don't know where you're going. Oh yeah, you have a job and you get up day to day and you do the routine, but you don't know where you're going. And I wonder then also, is it because you don't want the light? Because you're choosing to refuse the light? In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14, Paul said, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Believe tonight and know that if you want light, God's ready to give it to you. God's ready to reveal himself, and yea, already has revealed himself all around you and expressly in the pages of Scripture. Do you want it? Do you want it? I read that phrase, awake thou that sleepest. You know, sometimes we're tired, we're lethargic, we don't want to get up. Usually on Christmases, we spend the Christmas day and time around it at my in-laws' home. But I'll say that there's one thing that's kind of a pet peeve when I go there. Oftentimes we arrive on Christmas Eve, and then the routine every year is their church has a Christmas Eve service. After the Christmas Eve service, we go straight to Grandma's house. There we eat and we visit and maybe play games. We exchange gifts, and finally we get home. Then we get all the kids to bed, and then we're probably packing the gifts that we'd hauled in the car and getting them under the tree, getting ready to go, and most likely we get to bed pretty late. But you know that Christmas morning, oh man, that's a time of excitement, particularly the younger you get, the more exciting it is. And so, boy, when the first eyes open up and it dawns on them, this is Christmas Day, then upstairs they are, and I guess they're waking other people up, and everybody's getting in the living room, and I'm laying in bed, and I'm tired, and they're like, Merry Christmas! Hello! Come on out! Time to celebrate Christmas! I'm tired. I don't really want to get up. You know, I could celebrate just fine in about an hour and a half, and I'd rather just sleep in a little bit. So anyway, I got sick and tired of that. And one year, I determined, okay, I'm going to turn the tables here, and I said I'm going to set the alarm clock, and I'm going to be the first one up, and I'm going to do it to them. So believe it or not, my wife helped me. And we set our alarm clock, I guess, and we got up early, and then I was the one that sat in the living room and said, hello, Merry Christmas, hey, God, you sleepy heads, get out of bed. there's a little grinchy of me, I understand, but anyway, it wasn't entirely spirit-led, spirit-filled maybe, but I think about that, awake thou that sleepest. I don't want to awake. We should, but when it comes, we're not talking about exchanging gifts and doing the family ritual here. When it comes to knowing Christ, we shouldn't be lazy, especially when so much is at stake. I want to be like Moses, who said, show me thy glory. John 12:36, Jesus said, while ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. While ye have the light. In other words, he was indicating to them, you'll not always have the light that you have. And maybe you just think, well, hey, I can respond to the Lord when I want. And when I'm good and ready, I'll just approach those scriptures and I'll get to know him better. But if you're unsaved here this evening, can I remind you that only by the drawing of the Holy Spirit will you ever hope to have a desire to come to Christ? And that's not something that you can conjure up in yourself. So while the Holy Spirit's working in your heart right now, while you have the light, believe in the light that you might be the children of light. So really, I feel like the story of the world and the story of our lives could be told in a picture of 3 days. Just as the sun rises and the sun sets in a day, we see 3 days in Scripture. The first day was began at creation. Imagine when God breathed into man the breath of life, and he at that instant became a living soul. And in the very first moments of his consciousness, he looked into the face of his Creator. This was the dawning of the first day of the glory of God as it related to humanity. I can imagine that the Son of God's glory rose high as he walked and talked with Adam and Eve day after day. But when Satan and the serpent did his work of temptation, and Eve and Adam both chose to violate God's command, the sun set on humanity. The darkness of sin entered, and the Bible tells us death came by sin. So as it relates to you personally, though, a second day has come. Day two is when the Son of God's glory dawns on you and he begins to work in your heart. God works in every heart to draw it to himself. The glory dawns as a man is rebuked by his conscience, convicted by the Holy Spirit. As he hears the truth and he's made aware of the reality of God's claim on his life, and the Son of God's glory rises. But here there's an interesting juncture. Either one can continue in his rebellion until the sun has completely set and is left forever in the dark, or he can repent and confess his sin, calling out to God for deliverance, at which time he can be assured that his potential of reflecting and magnifying the glory of God is now opened up. But can I tell you that there's a third day coming? That is when Jesus comes again in his glory for the eternal day, when that glory will never set. But I wonder how you'll be found in that third day. It has everything to do with how you responded to him in the second day. When the glory of God began to dawn on your heart, as he began to convict you of sin and draw you to himself, and that's just not for the unsaved, but as believers, are we continually drawing closer to him? Our joy in that day for us will be related to that. Ephesians 5:8, Paul says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, so walk as children of light." Now, John clarifies that some things in our behavior or in our conversation aren't conducive to that or aren't consistent with it, because he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. But remember, beloved, ye are the light of the world. I remember when I was in junior high or high school, I was told that there was going to be a solar eclipse. A solar eclipse. But the interesting thing about it, like unlike a lunar eclipse where we could stand out and we could look at it, is you can't watch a solar eclipse directly unless you want your eyeballs burned, your retinas burned, from what I'm told. So my friend, who was more the astronomer, he had this thick filter through which we could look at the sun being eclipsed. Or there's another way that you can actually look at it, more the shadow of it or the reflection of it happening on a piece of paper. But we are the light of the world. And though in a physical sense we cannot look on the sun without actually hurting our ability to see, not so with Christ. The more we look on Jesus Christ, the Son, if you will, of glory, the more we look at him, the better our ability to see becomes, and we should gaze on him. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18 tells us that we behold his glory as in a glass, and we behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord. And as we do that, we're changed into the same image, even as by the glory of the Lord. For 2 Corinthians 4:6, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." How at Christmas in America do the songwriter's words need to be heeded? O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, he passed, and we follow him there. Over us, sin no more has dominion, for more than conquerors we are. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him, and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Maybe at some point in your life, your child has taken his or her hands and put them on your cheek, and they've looked into your face. If we could but place our hands of childlike faith on his beautiful face, and with adoring eyes look upon him, gaze upon him, oh, how things would change. Could not our countenance show that we have found the light, that we have gazed upon it, and that we are indeed children of light? Could not our conversation show that we have found the light, that we have accepted it, we have no longer rebelled against it, and it has transformed us? Should we not be emboldened right now in this season to reflect, not just to reflect, yea, to magnify the light of Christ? Jesus is the light, and now he wants to shine in and through me and you. Let's be a light to the world.